This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, welcome to our wild card weekend preview. It feels like the last month has been kind of, I don't want to say the last few weeks at least, have been almost meaningless games for the Bills that they've just dominated to show that they're one of the best teams in the AFC. And now they finally get to play for something that matters this week, where, you know, as the last couple of weeks, it didn't really matter if they lost the game, but they went out there and dominated anyways. And hopefully that carries over into this week. I think it's an interesting matchup with the Colts, but they definitely have the upper hand.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are a more talented team overall, and they are better at the most important thing to be really good at in football, and that's throwing the football. The Bills are significantly better at throwing the ball than the Colts are, which in today's NFL just gives you a massive advantage, because if you're good at throwing and you can get ahead in games and force the other team to throw, you basically just win. If you can put yourself in that position as a really good passing team, it's very hard to beat you.
Right. And I see this going the Bills' way if they basically just play how they have the last couple of months. And like you said, just don't get behind. Because if you get behind, then the Colts are going to be able to control the clock and run the ball, shorten the game, which means less possessions for your offense, which is one of the best in the league. And I think if the Bills are able to go out there and score, you know, 14, 21 points pretty quickly, maybe even get to 21, 24 by halftime, they're in pretty good shape, because the Colts aren't going to beat you in a shootout with Philip Rivers. Yes, we both think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Not, at this age, he's not the same guy he was. He's not going to win a shootout with Josh Allen.
Right. Philip Rivers is more of a game manager type quarterback than anything at this point in his career. Well, yes, he's still really good. Yes, he can still go out and win you a playoff game. The Colts, in my opinion, to give themselves the best chance of winning the game, you're going to see a lot of Jonathan Taylor, a lot of Nyheim Hines, more so than you're going to see Philip Rivers dropping back to pass 35 or 40 times.
Right. And when they do drop back to pass, he gets the ball out pretty quick. He likes to get it out in, you know, 2.5 seconds or less. So for me, it's almost kind of a similar game plan to the Steelers, except the Colts are actually capable of running the ball. The Steelers weren't. Just make Rivers hold the ball, because he can't get out of the way. He's not going to evade a pass rush. And a lot of his passes are going to be targets to the tight end and the running back in the short area, which kind of plays into the Bills' zone-based scheme where they just keep everything in front of them. And if you're able to just make him check down or just completely erase those options and make him hold the ball, I don't see how the Colts are going to produce much through the air.
Right. The one thing I could see the Colts doing that, but Bills, this is a strength of the Bills, but it still could give them a little bit of trouble, is the deep ball. Because if the Colts start running the ball well, and the Bills do have to bring extra guys up to help the run, if they choose to do that. Now, as we saw against the Chiefs earlier this year, they just said, screw it, you guys can run for as many yards as you want, we don't really care. But if they choose to bring up extra guys against the run, the Colts do have receivers that can beat them over the top. And that would be, if the Colts are going to have success passing the ball, that's probably where it's going to come from.
Yeah, and I think that'll come on the Levi Wallace or Josh Norman side of the field. I don't think Trey White really has a whole lot to worry about. They don't have any overly fast wide receivers, which can be somewhat of a struggle for the Bills. And outside of Michael Pittman, they don't really have an overly physical type of guy either. So I think if the Bills are able to just kind of play defense how they normally do, and, you know, load up the line of scrimmage and make them guess what guys are coming from where, and just force third downs, basically. Don't let Jonathan Taylor pick up first downs with two runs. Force them to third down and make Rivers hold the ball. And I think that's the recipe for winning on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Alex, the only guy I think that does have the ability to really beat them over the top is T.Y. Hilton. While, yes, he's been not, he hasn't produced a lot for a significant portion of the season. When he has had success lately, it's been over the top of defenses. And that's really, I think, his biggest strength at this point in his career is getting behind defenses. He's not going to give you a lot else than that. And that's part of, I think, why his stats and his numbers were down so much this year.
Yeah, thanks for that correction, Nate. I forgot about T.Y. Hilton because, like you said, he kind of was erased or just didn't do anything for most of the season until the last few weeks. So I think the Bills do have to be aware of that, especially on the Levi Wallace side, where he's a little bit slower. Trey White has no problem keeping up with T.Y. Hilton. He's probably just as fast as him at this point in his career. He was a 4.3 guy at one point, but he's probably not quite that fast. But you make a good point that just beware of getting beat over the top, because if you take away the big plays, the Colts cannot score points in bunches.
Yeah, Alex, I really think we're going to see a similar game plan to what the Bills played the Chiefs with, in the sense that they're just going to let the Colts run to an extent and be confident that their offense can just outscore a team running the ball all the time. And I think that is probably, they're not going to go full let you run for 250 yards kind of defense, but I think they're going to really let the Colts run a little bit, and not, because I don't think the Colts are going to beat them even running the ball. Like, I'd let them run for 150, 200. You're not going to beat the Bills doing that. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think a big reason of that is when we flip to the other side of the ball, the Colts are kind of good at what the Bills don't do. They're good at stopping the run. They're one of the best run-stopping defenses in the league. Well, congratulations, that doesn't do a really whole lot for you with the team that passes the most on first down out of any team. I think out of any team with a winning record in history, I think. I don't know if I thought I saw that earlier this week. But basically, the Bills are pass happy, and the Colts aren't a great pass defense. So I think they're going to have trouble if they want to run the ball on offense, and the Bills are just going to sling it all over the yard on them.
Right. The Colts defense is not great numbers-wise against the pass. However, they are pretty good at not giving up big plays. And the Bills get a lot of chunk plays, like 20-plus yard plays. Those kind of plays are really a staple of their offense. On their touchdown drives, they tend to get at least one of those almost every time. The Bills have shown that they can score moving the ball in smaller chunks. And I think the Colts defense is going to be able to force them to do that a little bit.
Yeah, and this isn't one of those games where I expect the Bills to go out and put up 40-plus points or close to it like they have the last several weeks. But I think low 30s is reasonable, given that the Colts are probably going to try to take away those chunk plays. They're pretty good at doing that. But like you said, the Bills can move the ball in smaller chunks and just go right down the field. I think last week they had like an 8-play, 80-some-yard drive for a touchdown in like 3-some minutes. And that was like in the middle of the second quarter. It wasn't even like in a hurry-up scenario. So the Colts play a lot of zone coverage, and the Bills are really good against zone or man. And it looks like they might have Cole Beasley. He practiced limited today for the first time. And Stephon Diggs is questionable. He's going to play. And I just see no way that Stephon Diggs does not play in this.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with that, Alex. Diggs is going to play. Like, there was a video of him on Twitter today just dancing at practice. Like, he probably tweaked something a little bit, but there's nothing to worry about with him. Beasley, I'm a little less certain of. But I really, given that he was limited, I think there's a pretty good shot he dresses and maybe plays a little bit rather than playing his normal amount of snaps.
Yeah, and I think we could see a good dose of Dawson Knox and the running backs too in the short area of the field, because all of those guys are good after the catch. And if they're going to take away the big play down the field, okay, take the short stuff underneath, because Dawson Knox is an absolute maniac with the ball in his hands.
Right, like this is a game and a defense that the Colts play where you want to get try to get your playmakers the ball in space in the short areas and let them make plays rather than throw the ball down the field, because the Colts play so much zone, and given that one of their top corners is going to be out against the Bills and Rocky Asin, I think we're going to see even more zone than they normally play. I think they normally play zone about 70% of the snaps. I think we're going to see closer to like 85-90% of snaps in zone for the Colts on Saturday. And the Bills getting Devin Singletary, getting Isaiah McKenzie, getting Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox the ball in space, that's where the Bills are going to find the chunk plays, I would imagine, more so than throwing the ball on the field. Now, one thing I will say about the Colts defense is their pass rush is not the greatest. And when Josh Allen has a clean pocket, he's the best quarterback in the NFL this season, statistically. That, if the Bills can keep him clean, even if the Dolphins play zone, zones don't last forever. Then that's where the Bills, if they're going to rip apart this Colts defense, it's going to be if the Colts cannot get any pressure on him.
I agree. And the Colts do play, you know, we say a lot of zone. Specifically, they play cover two a lot. And statistically, the Bills have actually been not very good against cover two. But I think when you're prepared for it, when you know they're probably going to play that a good chunk of the time, there's a lot of areas on the field that Josh Allen is really good at attacking that beat cover two. Specifically, you know, that intermediate route to the outside that's over the top of the corner and underneath the deep safety. Then you have the deeper throws up the seam between the two safeties. And then, like we said, just those dump offs underneath, because they play that soft 5-man shell underneath to let Dawson Knox, Stephon Diggs, your running backs, Cole Beasley, just go get yards after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see a decent amount of four verts from the Bills. The Bills love to run four verts against cover two and throw those seam, throw those balls on the seam, or throw that ball in the gap on down the boundaries. That is one of the best plays against cover two, because the deep safety's got to pick who they're going to defend. And Josh Allen's arm gives him access to all of those throws. And like you said, Alex, that's the Bills, those intermediate areas of the field is the prime spot for the Bills to attack. And Josh Allen just happens to be really, really good at making those throws.
Right. And we also should mention that Darius Leonard is one of the best linebackers in the game, so the Bills do have to be aware of him roaming the middle of the field, because he's a really good playmaker. But I don't think he's anything that's going to terrify this Bills offense. I mean, they shouldn't be afraid of anyone right now.
No, I mean, this Bills offense has been ridiculous. The past three games, they've been beyond ridiculous. The past, really, eight, they've been really good. And they're just on an absolute tear right now. And I think they're going out there. They know they can score points on anyone. They know they can beat anyone. And they're 6.5-point favorites against the Colts for a reason. And I do think they should win this game by more than that.
I agree. And I see a wide range of outcomes on this game, in the sense that the Colts could win it, but I think it would be really close in the case that they do, and it would be low scoring. Or it could be the Bills just run up the score and win by a lot. I see that as the range of outcomes, somewhere between those two extremes. And big picture-wise, there's no reason to panic and freak out if the Bills lose this game. Is it colossally disappointing? Yes. Does it mean they're not capable of being really good and winning in the postseason? No. Weird things happen in one-game sample sizes. And the Colts won 11 games this year. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, I mean, we have to remember it is the playoffs. Yes, we think the Bills are one of the best three teams in the NFL. Yes, so does, at this point, most of the professional prognosticators and all that. But those teams still lose sometimes. Aaron Rodgers, 15-1, Green Bay Packers lost in the divisional round of the playoffs not that long ago. Like, it happens. And like Alex said, it's not the end of the world. Yes, it is a huge disappointment. We expect this team, based on their talent and the way they're playing, to make it to the AFC Championship game, or even beyond that. It's a disappointment if they don't do those things. But disappointment does not mean failure. It doesn't mean, like, burn it all down or anything like that.
That summarizes that nicely. Now, we definitely expect to win. They should probably win this game 7 times out of 10, which is a pretty good chance. So, Nate, what is your score prediction for this game?
I think the Bills are going to win this one pretty comfortably, in the sense that we're not going to be, you know, the outcome is going to be assumed or assured fairly early in the game in just terms of how the game feels. I think the Bills are going to end up winning this 34-21.
That's almost identical to my score. The conditions look pretty good. It's just going to be cold, but should be able to throw the ball. Should be no issues with rain or snow. So I think the Bills are going to get out early, like you said, get a lead. And the Colts will have to try to play keep up, which will result in them scoring a few more points. But I'm going Buffalo 34-23.
Yeah, I think this game, it just feels like the way the Bills are playing. This Colts team just isn't a team that is going to give them much of a hard time. Obviously, if the Bills play a really poor game, the Colts can beat them. The Colts are a good football team. They're a good football team, don't get me wrong. But I think the way the Bills are playing, if they play it to that level, there are two teams in the NFL that can beat them right now, and one's the Chiefs and one's the Packers. Like, beyond that, I don't think other teams would beat them playing at that level. So if that continues, it should be an easy game.
Yeah, I think that summarizes it nicely. And if the Bills win this game, it's a huge accomplishment. I mean, it'll be the first playoff win I have ever seen. The last time they won a playoff game, I was 2 years old. I don't remember that. So I'm really looking forward to the game on Saturday. And I really, really want to come back with a rapid reaction victory pod on Saturday evening.
That'd be just glorious. And then maybe even a rematch with the Pittsburgh Steelers would be lined up. And there's a good chance the Bills will have like a 32 hour head start of rest on their playoff opponent for the divisional round. So that'd be also pretty nice.
Yeah. And I think the one other thing to point out is you want to root for the Steelers to win, because you'd rather face the Steelers than the Titans or the Ravens. But like we've said, the Bills should think they can beat anyone right now, and they got to do it first this weekend. But assuming they get that win on Saturday afternoon, I think we want to be Steelers fans on Sunday.
Yeah, I completely agree. The Steelers are, I think, the easiest possible opponent. I mean, outside the easiest possible opponent, because if the Browns win, they couldn't face the Browns. The Browns would automatically be going to Kansas City if the Bills and the Browns both win. And I think that is the most important thing, is make sure you're facing the Steelers. Root for facing the Steelers, because the Titans and the Ravens are teams that I don't think anyone wants to play the Titans or the Ravens.
Yeah, they're just those two teams that in one game sample sizes, they can just cause you fits. As we saw what the Titans did to the Bills earlier in this season, they just destroyed them. And that can happen in a one-game sample size. And I think the Bills are better than the Titans. And probably just about everyone does. But weird things happen in one-game sample sizes. Hopefully that doesn't happen against the Colts on Saturday. Nate, anything else you want to add?
Go Bills.
That's right. Go Bills. So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at Bills_breakdown, where we will be live tweeting during the game. You can send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.